We're going to continue our study of Sefer Shmuel Beis. It's been a while since we learned. We're actually in the middle of Perek Gimel of Chapter 3, and right in the middle of a very important narrative where the kingdom of Ishbosheth, who was the son of Shaul, who was ruling over the 11 tribes, besides the tribe of Yehuda, which David was ruling, so that kingdom seems to be on the verge of crumbling, because Ishbosheth had accused his general Avner, basically the source of all of his power, of a crime, and Avner was quite offended, and Avner has gone over to the side of David, and we read the Pesukim about Avner dealing with David, and basically Avner is now marching away from David, on David's side, on a mission to go ahead and convince the other 11 tribes, including the tribe of Binyamin, which was the tribe of Shaul's family, to back David as the unified king of all 12 tribes. So we're picking up the story in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Beis. V'hine avdei David v'yoav ba mehagdud. Behold, right at this time, the servants of David, along with Yoav, who was one of David's leading officials in the army, had come back from a raid. V'shalal rav imam heviu, and they were bringing back a lot of spoils. It doesn't seem to be identified what raid they were involved in, where the spoils were coming from, but they definitely, some of Farshim take note of the fact, they definitely were in battle mode. They were coming back from some form of battle. Va'avner einenu im David bechevron kishelcho. Avner was not in Hebron. Avner, who again is the opposing general, or what seemingly used to be the opposing general, was not with David in Hebron when Yoav came back. Kishilcho, because David had already sent him on his way. Vayelech, and Avner had gone. Bishalom, in total peace. And it almost appears, at least the presentation of the story to us, it's right after Avner leaves, that's when Yoav shows up. And Pasuk Chav Gimel is Yoav's, the beginning of Yoav's coming to understand what had happened. Pasuk Chav Gimel. V'Yoav v'chol hatzava asher ito bo. Yoav and the group of armed soldiers who were with him, they came. They came to Hebron. Vayagidu liYoav leMor, and it was told to Yoav, saying as follows: Ba Avner ben Ner el Hamelach. Avner, the son of Ner, had come to the king, meaning to David. Vayishalchehu, and David had sent him off. Vayilach b'shalom, and he left in peace. Presumably, they informed Yoav more than just these words. Presumably, they informed Yoav of the fact that it wasn't just that he came, said hello, and left in peace. It was that he came and was ready to sign or enact a treaty with David in order to say, I'm coming onto your side, and now you will be hopefully recognized by all the tribes, what you've been waiting for. And that David sent him away in peace. Now, What's important to remember is that Avner and Yoav had a history, a horrible history, in that Avner killed Yoav's brother. Yoav's brother Asael, in the battle that took place, it was a duel that turned into a battle between Yoav and his men and Avner and his men. Yoav and his men were very successful, and there was a point where Avner was on the run. Yoav's brother Asael had chased him, and in the end, in an act of what we would call self-defense, Avner killed Asael. So that's number one that's going through Yoav's mind throughout this story. Number two is you could take the perspective of, how do we know we can trust Avner? We think we can trust Avner. Now, we happen to know that Avner was very much insulted by Ishbosheth. And Avner had kind of fuel. Avner understood what Avner had reason to defect over to the side of David. But Yoav doesn't know that. All he hears about is that the foreign general, the other team's general, has come and met and made peace. Peace with David. Yoav is definitely, you would probably say Yoav has a right to be suspect. And he presents that to David in Pasuk Chav Daled. Vayavo Yoav el HaMelech, Yoav comes to the king. Vayomer, and he says, Me asita. What did you do? You and I might say that that doesn't sound to be the most respectful way to speak to the king. But Yoav is a very powerful figure, and even though he's David's nephew, he seems to talk to David in a way of almost being an equal, if not thinking of himself as more powerful. Vayomer me'asita, what did you do? Hine ba Avner elecha. Behold, Avner came to you. Lama ze shilachto vayelech haloch. Why is it that you let him leave? How did he come here? He came to you and you let him leave? You had him in your grasp. You could throw him in prison. You could kill him. You could control him. You had him and you let him go. And included in that is if Yoav was made aware of all the terms of the peace treaty, he's almost saying, you trust him? You trust Avner? What makes you think that you can trust Avner? Pasuk Hafei. Yodata es Avner ben Ner. You know Avner ben Ner. Ki lefatosecha ba. He came to entice you. Vilodas es mo'atzacha v'es mo'avacha. He came to know your comings and your goings. He spied on you. He came to spend time in Chevron. He's an enemy. V'lodas eis kol asher ata oseh, to learn everything that you do. Now, on the one hand, you would say, you could make the argument that Yoav has a valid, at least a valid option. How do we know we can trust Avner? But at the same time, you have to say, how do you know that you can't trust Avner? And what's fascinating is after, and you could kind of see, you'll be able to see some of this at the end of the perek. What would you expect David to do at this point, if you don't look at the next pasuk? What would you expect David to do? At least, what would you expect him to do? At least answer Yoav back. At least respond. At least make your case for Avner. In terms of what the Tanakh records, there's no response. Which is kind of similar. It's almost similar to the way to the episode that happened. When Ishbosheth made a claim against Avner, and Avner spoke back, the pasuk there recorded v'lo yachol od la'shivas Avner davar mi'yirasa oso. That Ishbosheth didn't speak back to Avner because he was afraid. Now the pasuk doesn't say anything about David here, but it lacks David's response. And so the presentation, and it's still the very same perek. The basic understanding is, David felt he couldn't respond. That's one perspective you could have. You could also say maybe David did respond. It just wasn't deemed to be crucial for us to know his response. What could David have said to calm down the fears of Yoav? Maybe David didn't have what to say. It's kind of a he said, he said. I say Avner's on my side, you say Avner's against me. It's almost like we kind of have to wait for things to unfold.
But it's also, Yoav has other reasons not to want Avner around. Like not state reasons, but personal reasons.
So how much is David cognizant of that at this point in time? Meaning, perhaps, I would imagine David knows about it. We're not talking about a stranger that died. First of all, Yoav and his brother who's deceased, Asael, were both nephews of David. You have to imagine that whenever they made a Levaya for Asael, you have to imagine that David was there. It's his sister's son. And he definitely would know the story. It doesn't seem to hold him back from making peace with Avner, and he doesn't mention any of that.
No, but that could be like, how's David going to make Yoav feel better about that? There's no...
Correct,
say.
But...
There's nothing he could say.
There's nothing he could say, but...
He might realize that.
But what? But the question is what David could potentially do to keep Yoav in check. How is David supposed to make sure that Yoav doesn't react in an irrational way to this?
So now, is Anavi trying to maybe tell us something about David's personality, that he doesn't want to be confrontational about this?
I usually don't try to give too much of my own. The Navi is going to say that David, to some degree, felt that Yoav's power was something that he couldn't deal with. Mm-hmm. And is it that he couldn't deal with it, or that he couldn't deal with it, / he needed it for good things, or for pursuing certain things about his kingdom? But in a way, David is not, and the Pasuk's going to say, at this stage in David's kingdom, he doesn't have the strength to deal with someone like Yoav. And that there seem to be hints in the Pasuk here by the fact that we don't see David responding, and the way that Yoav spoke to David. And now read Pasuk, let's do Pasuk Chavav, we see that Yoav is going to basically act without David's permission, which, you know, the average person in a kingdom, even if it's a small kingdom made up just of one tribe, the average person is going to have respect / fear, such as etiquette, whatever, that not to go ahead and do something without the king's approval. Pasuk Chav, Vayetze Yoav me'im David. Yoav goes out from David. Vayishlach malachim achari Avner. And he sent messengers to go after Avner. Vayoshivu also mibor hasira. And they brought him back from Bor Hasira. V'David lo yada. And David is not aware of this. Mefarshim explained that he sent messengers. He sent messengers to Avner, saying, "David has to talk to you again. There's more words that David wants to say to you." So the messengers gave a false message, because here it says, "V'David lo yada." David doesn't know about this. How do we get, basically, Yoav's thinking, how do I get Avner back to Hebron? Rashi quotes an approach of Chazal. Actually, it's on the next pasuk, so I'll wait a second. So here, so Yoav is secretly bringing Avner back. Pasuk of Zion. Vayoshav Avner Chevron. So Avner, thinking that everything is fine, mm-hmm. returns to Chevron, because if David wants to talk to him, he just made a peace treaty with David. How could he not come back? So Avner comes back to Chevron. Vayateu Yoav el toch hashar ledaber ito basheli. Yoav kind of leaned him or directed him towards the middle of a gateway to speak to him, Basheli. Basheli is kind of, the Mitzvah Sion defines it in a casual, like shkaga, v'shichcha, something that's just commonplace. So he kind of brought him over to the side to have just a regular discussion. Vayakehu sham hachomesh, and he struck him there in the fifth rib, vayamos, and Avner died. The Pasuk says, vayamos bedam asal achiv. Why is it that he caused him to die? That Yoav caused Avner to die to avenge the blood of his brother, Asael.
He killed him the same way his brother was killed.
And he killed, right. So that's one of the indications, that the same form of death. Now, Avner had kind of thrown something very far because he was being chased, and we managed to kill him in the fifth rib. And here, Yoav, who's obviously very close because they're having some type of discussion, And Avner's just defenseless. He doesn't see this coming, because he just made a peace treaty with Yoav's with Yoav's king, and Yoav should, even though Yoav has personal feelings, and I imagine Avner's aware of that, he should still think you would think that you're the general of the king. You're going to respect the king's wishes to make this peace treaty work. And Yoav goes ahead and kills him in the same exact manner. Manner.
Is there any indication? I don't know the grammar very well. That he was brought back forcefully, or that he came back willingly.
The understanding. I don't know the grammar either. Oh. Unfortunately.
Didn't you say your grandfather wrote that terrible dictum book?
That's the problem. That means you're just pouring salt on the wounds.
Well, every time I think of it, I break out.
Yeah. So, it doesn't appear that way, especially because maybe you would say because of the phrase of Vayateu Yoav el Toch Hashar Ledaber Ito Basheli that when they although it ended in a murder. A revenge killing of sort. When they walked into the gate, to use that word basheli, that it was casual. It seems like Avner was fine to have that discussion, and so he presumably was fine to be there. In the back of his mind, he might be thinking, "You know, I just finished talking to the king. What does the king possibly have to say to me?" But you ever call someone back after you were just on the phone, but you forgot one thing. They didn't have phones. So this is the callback. Rashi quotes a statement from Chazal that when it says El Toch HaShar, that they wanted to have the conversation next to the Shar, next to the gateway, that the Shar refers to where the Sanhedrin was. Mm-hmm. That there was a Sanhedrin present. We know that when the Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomo, there was a special office, the Lishkas HaGazis, the office where they used the chamber of the chopped wood. That was the location where the Sanhedrin sat. By the Beis HaMikdash, but before, I don't know if this is a reference to the large Sanhedrin, which is a Sanhedrin of 71. But every single tribe, including the tribe of Yehuda, definitely had what's called a Sanhedrin Haktana. A small Sanhedrin is made up of 23 judges. You need a court of at least 23 judges to adjudicate capital cases where. You would give the death penalty. And when it says Al Toch HaShar, it means that Yoav actually brought Avner to the Sanhedrin to be judged because Avner had killed his brother. And the court basically said to Avner, did you kill Yoav's brother, Asael? And he said, yes, but it was in self-defense. And self-defense is a valid defense strategy in Judaism that we don't believe. We believe not only are you allowed to do self-defense, but if you see person A running after person B to kill them, you can save person B by knocking off person A, the quote-unquote murderer. So then the question back to Avner was it possible for you to only have hurt him instead of killing him? Instead of killing him, could you have gotten him in the foot where he wouldn't be able to chase you any further? And the proof to that was, you know, Avner might have said, you know, I wasn't able to, but then how did you manage to hit him exactly in his rib? Meaning, if you were managed to hit him in the fifth rib, it means you have some good aim. If you have some good aim, then it means you could have injured Asael instead of killing Asael. And it sounded like a valid argument that perhaps Avner was not in the right for killing Asael. And the statement of Chazal basically says that Yoav didn't allow for the Sanhedrin to say that Avner was guilty, but Yoav took matters into his own hands after hearing that argument, and Yoav just killed Avner. Should Yoav be held accountable for killing Avner? So if this was the only atrocity that Yoav, who I keep telling you is, I think, one of probably the most complex characters that we're going to come in contact with, if this was the only thing he ever did that was not on the up and up and not proper, so then you maybe could make the argument that he was allowed to kill Avner because Avner was not in the right in terms of, because it turns out not to be real self-defense because he didn't have to kill Asael, he could have just injured him. Unfortunately, or, you know, coming attractions, but we will see other things that Yoav unfortunately did, so that in the end he, you know, could be,
when you say have
could
to
be punished.
People, do they always have the right to take things in their own hands instead of bringing them to the Sanhedrin? Just have the right means, okay, everyone just does what they want.
I'm not exactly sure. It seems that there was some level of allowance for this at that time. So here you have Avner, and he didn't tell David that he was even... Sorry, here you have Yoav. He didn't tell David that he was bringing Avner back. If he didn't tell David that he's bringing Avner back, you can imagine he didn't tell David that he's going to assassinate Avner. And so, Pasuk Chaf Ches, Vayishma David me'acharechein. David hears about, after all this, David hears about this. Meaning, that's another way of the pasuk indicating that David doesn't know anything. Vayomer, and it seems that David's immediate reaction is, Naki anochi umamlachti me'im Hashem ad olam midmei Avner bener. I and my kingdom are clean. Naki, clean. We are without guilt from before Hashem forever from having anything to do for the blood of Avner Bener. What was David's whole over the last few years? Since Shaul was killed by the Plishtim, David has had an approach, a peaceful approach. David never tries to attack Ishbosheth. He never tries to claim any of the tribes to recognize him. He never tries to get any of the tribes to recognize him as king. When he comes to Yehuda, he doesn't claim to be their king. He waits for them to recognize him as king. So then he's king for one tribe. Now he makes a peace treaty with Avner in order to, again, staying peacefully, get the other tribes on board so that it's a slow process that he will be the unified, recognized king of all 12 tribes of Israel. And now his general just assassinated the other team's general, the other kingdom's general. What does this look like? He asked the average Jew on the street, does Yoav act with David's command or does Yoav act without David's command?
You have to assume he acts with...
We don't know the inner workings. The average person doesn't know the inner workings, right? Maybe they also know the news that Avner was the one who killed Yoav's brother. Well, guess what? It's also David's nephew. Wouldn't you want revenge, right? If you were David, could you not make the argument that you would also want revenge against the killer of your nephew, your sister's son? And this is the best way to cripple the government of Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth is a nothing. Forget about him. Let's take out his general. What is everyone going to think? And perhaps this will totally derail David's whole plan of allowing for peaceful recognition of him as the king. And so his immediate response is to exclaim, and we don't know, it says, Vayomer, he said, who exactly did he say it to? You have to imagine that standing around David is not going to be the naysayers, right? David is worried not about what the people in Hebron are going to think. David's worried about what the people in Asher and in Zvolun and all over the country, what are they going to think when they hear the news? Pasuk Chaf Tes, this is still within David's initial reaction. So number one, he says that I and my kingdom are clean, we're guiltless. Yachulu al Rosh Yoav. The word yachulu, it comes from the word to like, the Mitzvah Tzion says yachnu, to like rest. The guilt should rest al rosh Yoav, on the head of Yoav, the al kol beis aviv, and on his father's entire house. The al yikares mi beis Yoav. The following should not cease from the house of Yoav. And David throws out five curses. Verbal curses to the whole household of Yoav. Zav, the people of his house should be a Zav. We'll explain that in a second. A Metzora, some Right? So I'll explain each one. A zav, there's a certain type of tuma. Normally, the highest level of tuma is actually a tumas zav. A zav is where the tuma comes from within the body, and some type of liquid that's not normal comes out from the body, and therefore it makes the person who produced that liquid tame. Tame to the extent that they may even have to bring a korban as part of their tahara process. The other forms of tuma is when you touch something or come in contact with something external to the body. So then there are rules and regulations to become tar, how to become pure. So number one, he curses that the household should not cease from having individuals who have this type of tuma called zav. Umitzora, the household should not cease from having those who are having tsaras, lepers. Umachazik bapelech, and should not cease from having those who need to be supported on a crutch or a cane. V'nofa b'cherev, it shouldn't cease from having those who fall by the sword. V'chasar lechem, and those who lack food. So David is still, right, as we'll say this later in the parak as well, David is not punishing. David is not physically punishing Yoav. At this point, he's just cursing him. A curse is something that if we do have the notion of tzadik gozer v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim, that if the righteous says something, God may follow. But this curse is going, David is not going to be able to fulfill this curse. David can't cause anyone in his household to actually become a zav or a mitzora. Maybe you could say some of the other, maybe nofal b'cherev, David could kill someone. But David seems to blurt out these curses. Why these curses? So there's one approach in the Medrash there are some famous blessings that come in a unit of five, and so here David chooses to have a curse in a unit of five separate curses.
David say these things knowing that it won't, that Hashem wouldn't carry through on it, or because at the same time he's cursing his own family. This is his family.
You would imagine that he wants that he wants Hashem to come through on it. Yoav did something wrong.
Yeah, but he's cursing everyone in the family.
Oh, right. So the Kol Beis Aviv. So the Mefarshim are a little bothered by that. What does that mean, Val Kol Beis Aviv? Notice how he doesn't say V'chol Beis Imo. That's who David. That's his sister. He says V'chol Beis Aviv. It could refer to anyone who acts like Yoav. Maybe Yoav had help. There was another brother, Avishai. It could be that it's a reference to Avishai, because Avishai was kind of together with Yoav on all matters. And it could refer to anyone in the future who would be like Yoav. Why he chooses these five specific curses of Zav, Mitzora, walking with canes or crutches and being killed by the sword and not having food. So the Ibar Benel provides an explanation that there were a number of motivations, perhaps, that Yoav has in being worried about Avner. That the first is that maybe David would pick a new general. Mm-hmm. Maybe David would like Avner. It worked so well for Shaul. I don't know, even parentheses. I don't know. Shaul was killed in battle. His general should have protected him. But maybe David could have said, what better way to unite the country than let me take Avner as my general? And that'll be a much better way to unite the country. So basically, Yoav might have lost his place in David's court. And so the first two punishments about a Zav and a Mitzora, those are individuals that can't be coming in contact with people. So Yoav wanted to stay in contact with David, and so there's punishments about distancing. Yoav also might have just This was his adversary. Avner was technically on the other side. It was his military adversary. He might just want to take him out. And that, so that, you know, to go with that, the curse is about being weakened to the extent that you're leaning on crutches and then being killed by the sword. And perhaps perhaps another motivation in terms of what happens if he would lose his position of being general. So perhaps there's a financial element. You know, he won't have a he'll be out of a job, and so that's the curse of not having food. So on the one hand, you could look at these five curses as just being in the number of five. On the other hand, you could look at them as individually being, you know, customly cursed towards based on Yoav's motivation. Whether or not, you know, I didn't see anyone say this, but you know, it could very well be like this was like a normal curse. Like when you got angry at someone, you wanted to curse them. So that, you know, there are certain, I know like in Yiddish, there are like a lot of ways to curse someone in Yiddish. Like these like fascinating phrases that are curses that you know, like we don't have those anymore. Like you should lose all of your teeth except for one, so it annoys you. Or you know, so it could very well be that this was So there are five types of blessings.
Right.
So to correspond, five and five. Now, pasuk lamed. That was all David's initial reaction. Who he said this curse to, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Pasuk lamed almost sounds back to like a narrator talking. V'Yoav Avishai Achiv, Yoav and Avishai his brother. So now we're saying that Avishai was with him. Hargu la'Avner, they had killed Avner. Al Asher Heimis Es Asal Achihem BeGivon BaMelchama, because he had killed their brother Asael in Givon, in the battle. So why are we being told? So the Radak says we're being told this again to highlight that one killed in self-defense, Avner killed in self-defense, and Yoav killed Avner just in cold blood. And you know what, you know, in terms of I don't think they had this, but this for David is a PR nightmare. Because his general has just assassinated the other general in cold blood. Had it been on the battlefield, you know, it would have been, you know, the heading in the newspaper in the Jerusalem Post would have been, you know, battle went wrong, other general dies, you know. But here the headlines are going to be all about scandal. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayomer David al Yoav. So David says to Yoav, the El Kol Ha'am Asher Ito, and to all of the nation who are with him, Kir'u Vigdechem, tear your clothing, V'chigur Sakim, and don, put on sackcloth, V'siftu Lifnei Avner, and we are going to have Esbedim. We're going to have eulogies before Avner. Right? Tearing of clothing, which is a sign of Avelos, wearing sackcloth, another sign of mourning. Everyone, including Yoav, has to wear clothing that are signs of mourning. Why? Because David's no longer. This is no longer what Pasuk Chavches said. Some Vayomer. David's saying who he's saying it to. Presumably, he's saying it to his people. Now that we're going to be out and about, we are going to be out and about wearing big day avelus, wearing the clothing of mourners. Not only that, the Hamelech David holich achar hamita, achare hamita. David was going to walk behind the coffin, was going to walk behind the body at the funeral procession, which the Gemara tells us that normally a king is not allowed to do. A king is not allowed to do that even for his own relatives. It's considered the king represents the country, and the king can't be seen in a very, very public form of excessive mourning. And therefore, the king was not allowed, normally a king would not be allowed to do this. David did this because he needed to show the country that he was honestly sad that this happened. He didn't want this. He never wanted Avner to be killed. And he even wants Yoav, the murderer, to be wearing sackcloth, to be wearing a torn clothing, to show some remorse for that which he did.
But how do they? Why can't a king? I mean, where do they get the idea that a king can't walk behind the whatever, the coffin, or whatever you call it? He's only the second king. Like, if he does it, then I guess kings can't.
There must have been some. There must have been some level
rule,
of must have been part of the Torah Shabbat Peh, meaning the Gemara hasn't been written yet, but it's been written. Meaning it's not written down,
right.
But it exists in an oral fashion that the king has to hold himself a certain way because he represents the honor of the country, and so the king can't be an individual like everybody else. The king has to be a little bit different. He's held to a different standard. He represents the whole nation. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayikberu es Avner b'Chevron. They buried Avner in Chevron. Vayisa hamelech es kolo. And the king David raised his voice, Vayef, and he cried El Kever Avner. He cried over the burial place of Avner. Vayivku Kolaam, and the entire nation also cried. All of the people cried together. Now, burying him in Hebron, I didn't see anyone say this, but it's a little bit of a question. Why would you bury Avner in Hebron? Avner should probably be buried in Binyamin. But maybe burying him in Hebron kind of highlights that I consider him one of us. If it was true that David wanted Avner dead, so just kill him and leave his body in the streets and let the Benjaminites come and deal with him. But no, David is saying we're gonna right. We usually refer to those who take care of the proceedings of a kavura of a Jewish burial. We call that Chesed Shel Emes. We call it the highest level of kindness. So here David is, he's giving about as royal a funeral as possible, and to bury in Hebron, and then he's standing there by the graveside. Now, you have to imagine that the David HaMelech that we know, I believe you have to explain that while there is this greater idea of showing the country that he's upset, you have to imagine that he's also really upset. Meaning, an innocent man was put to death. An innocent man who represented probably the greatest chance so far of David actually unifying the country together has just been killed. And David doesn't know what it's going to do. It might put him off for many years, or it may mean he'll never be recognized by everyone. So David is, you can't just say that David's putting on a show. And it's real. The life of every Jew is so precious. So not only is David crying, but the people who are with him are crying. Because if you attach yourself to the story, it's worthy of crying. There's someone who was killed innocently, and killed before their time in murder, and so everyone seems to be distraught over this. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, David. Laments. A little bit of a strange language. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayikonen HaMelech El Avner Vayomer. Almost similar to that, we saw that David gave a kind of a eulogy / lament over Shaul being killed and Yonasan. So now David laments, he adds a type of kina, a lamentation, on the death of Avner, and he said as follows, Hakmos Novel Yomos Avner? Should Avner have died the death of a novel, of someone who is someone who deserves just to be killed like a with a sword, like an evil person? Is this meaning? Did Avner get the death that he deserves? Absolutely not. He didn't deserve such a death. Even, you know, basically saying he didn't deserve death, let alone to be killed like this. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of praise. It's a little bit of a strange way to praise. If you were looking to praise Avner, I don't know if you and I would have praised this way. But Avner was a military man. He was a man of strength, a man of power. So Pasuk Lamed Dalid, Yodecha lo asuros. Your hands were not bound up. V'raglecha lo lenechushtayim hugashu. And your feet were not placed into chains. Kinfol lefnei b'nei avla nafalta. As one who falls before villains, you have fallen. Meaning you are such a mighty soldier that if someone had come on you head on, if someone had known that you, if you had known that you were about to be killed, you would have fought back, and the only way to have taken you down would have been to get you into chains. The only way would have been to restrain your arms, to restrain your feet, and then you would have been able to be taken down. But kinfol lifnei b'nei avla nafalta, you felt like a villain, because you were killed just defenseless. You didn't have any warning. Pasuk concludes by Yosifu Cholam Lefkos Alav. So the people wept even more for Avner. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Vayavo Cholam Lahavros Es David Lechem Baod Hayom. The people came. Some people came to David to cause him some type of comfort by bringing him a little bit of food, a little bit of lechem. Lahavros, so the Metzudas Tzion says, lahavros is lahachilo suda muetas, to give a little bit of a meal. There's a concept of what we actually refer to it with a similar language of the Sudas Havra. The Sudas Havra is the first meal after a person buries one of their close relatives. So other people bring food to the mourner. So David here is the mourner, and people are bringing him food. Now David is not an actual halachic mourner, but he seemingly has adopted the practices of a mourner. He's torn his garments, and he's saying hesped, he's saying kina, he's wearing the sackcloth. But Yishava David Lemar, David takes an oath, he takes a shvua, he takes a swear, as saying as follows, Koyas Eli Elokim v'chol Yosef, so shall Hashem do to me, and so shall he add. Doesn't necessarily say what God should do, but that's a language of severity, and it's a language of shvua. Ki im lifnei vo hashemesh etam lechem olchom uma. If I taste any bread or anything else before the sun sets, so David decides to fast the rest of the day. Now whether he had been fasting up until that point, and he's continuing to fast, it happens to be parenthetically halachically, you can only start a fast from the beginning of the day. You can't wake up at 12 o'clock and say, you know what, I want to make the rest of the day a fast day. You actually can't even wake up at 12 o'clock and say, well, I haven't eaten anything yet by chance. Let me turn the rest of the day into a fast day. This way, you know, in Shemayim, in case I need extra credit points, let me get a fast day in. Now, for you and I, I'll speak for myself. I usually have a hard enough time with the fast days that are on the calendar. I couldn't imagine adding fast days. Historically, Jews added fast days to their calendar. Historically, Avodah, and even going back 200-400 years, it was a very important part of Jewish tradition to take on extra fasts, either for tshuva purposes or just as a form of Avodah Hashem. Now, once Rav Fink explained, it was much easier for them to fast. They had less food to begin with. So staying away from having less food, not as much. No, we have food, you know. So you come to Asar Batavis, which is in New York, which is like 10 hours, and everyone's trying to wake up early before the sun. You know, so halachically, if you want to start a fast, you actually have to have a private fast. When it comes to the public fast, a couple of weeks, it'll be Tainus Esther. You don't have to do anything. You wake up in the morning and it's Tainus Esther. If you want to take upon a fast yourself, so you'll take a look at any art scroll sitter, or otherwise, but I imagine, definitely the art scroll sitter, at Mincha, right at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, for Mincha, when you right before you take your three steps back, they'll have a little paragraph underneath saying, if you want to accept upon yourself a fast, say the following phrase, the following paragraph, either to take upon yourself a half-day fast, there is the notion of taking upon yourself, well, she'll go from, you know, dawn until midday at Chatzos, or a full-day fast. You have to take it on in advance for it to be an official fast. Again, whatever that means. So what is David doing here? So either he had been fasting, and he's saying, I'm taking a shvu at this point to continue my fast, or he's not necessarily trying to do something halachic. He's making a statement of how distraught he is. That while it is not normal practice for a regular avel, for a regular mourner to fast, that there's no part of avelus that involves fasting. There is actually once a person is an official mourner, there is no restrictions of food and drink for a mourner. When a person is an onain, the stage between a relative, one of the close relatives passing away, and the actual burial, so then there's a special halacha for an onain not to eat meat and drink wine. But that is not in play during the 7 days and beyond for someone who's an avelus. They can eat meat, they can drink wine. There are even psukim in Tanakh that talk about how it can comfort a person. But David is not a typical mourner. David, first of all, he's not a halachic mourner. He's adopting these practices, and he's specifically trying to show how distraught he is. So perhaps this idea of taking a shua, I'm not going to eat anything, again, that's just highlight, right? Here, you're coming to comfort me with food. In my pseudo mourning, you're comforting me with food like you would a regular mourner. I'm refusing to take the food because I'm refusing to be comforted. I'm in such a stage of distraught. Pasuk Lamed Vav. V'chol ha'am hikiru. All of the people recognized vayitav be'enehem, and it was good in their eyes. Kichol asher asa hamelech, everything that the king did, be'enei chol ha'am, in the eyes of the people, tov, was good.
Who is chol ha'am? Was it just... Was it
I think this is broad.
Everybody.
I think this is broad.
Yeah.
I think this is the Tanakh kind of testifying that mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. That David wanted to send the message that he was distraught, and now we're being told that everyone is willing to buy in, that this king is sincere. If he's sincere in his mourning over Avner, then most likely, he was not involved in the decision to assassinate Avner. And therefore, the same David that everyone was beginning to warm up to, right, when Avner had those initial discussions with members of the other 11 tribes, we had already seen hints that they were warming up to the idea of accepting David as king. So now those feelings can be coming back to the people. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayedu chol ha'am v'chol Yisrael. So if you needed to show an emphasis, now we did it. Right? Vayedu chol ha'am v'chol Yisrael bayomu. All of the people and all of Israel, just kind of a broad language, bayomuhu, on that day, ki lo hoysami hamelech lahamis es Avner bener. That it wasn't from the king to kill Avner bener. So this is what David wanted, and this is what happened. At the same time, going with the idea that David's not, I don't think it's right for us to view David chas v'shalom as some type of actor who's putting on a show. Meaning, David's sincere. He's sincere about his mourning. He's sincere about if he's taking a shvua he's swearing by Hashem. David's not taking a shvua to put on a show. He's taking a shvua because he's sincere about what he's doing. But he hasn't but he hasn't dealt with Yoav. He cursed Yoav, and we still don't know who knows the curse. And to be honest, I don't even, we don't have, right? I'll ask you a question that I don't think any of you that are going to, not you, anybody would be able to. Does Yoav know about the curse? We don't know. We don't know. We know that Yoav was told. We know that Yoav was told that he needs to show that he's in mourning, and we have no indication from the psukim that Yoav went against that. See, at this point, Yoav might not care, right? What was the goal? Kill Avner. Avner's dead. You want me to tear my clothing? I'll tear my clothing. You want me to wear sackclothing? I'll wear sackclothing. Meaning, Mishnah, I avenge my brother's death. And if that wasn't the only motivation in Yoav's mind, if Yoav thought that maybe Avner was up to trouble, well, that trouble gone. So you want me to fall into line now? I'll fall into line now. And if you're Yoav, you're thinking, I'll fall into line when it's good for me to fall into line. And if I need to fall out of line again, I'll fall out of line again. And what are you going to do about it, kind of thing, which right now David's not ready to do.
And also, David might not care if Yoav knows about the curse, because he might have also just done it so that the people see that he's angry at Yoav.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a PR thing, maybe.
It's definitely possible. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Vayomer HaMelech El Avadav. The king said to his servants, so seemingly a little bit of a smaller audience, perhaps, Halo Teidu, surely you know, Kisar v'gadol nafal hayom hazeh b'Yisrael, that a great officer had fallen from Israel today.
That's a little extreme, I think. Right?
To talk about Avner that way?
He's a great man. He has no history with him yet, does he?
Well,
he knows him from Shaul.
Well, he was his father-in-law's general. Mm-hmm. He was Shaul's general. And David, you know, while David didn't like the idea that Shaul was chasing him, right, he always had great respect for Shaul. So if he has great respect for Shaul, then by extension for Avner. Mm-hmm. And the parak concludes, David seemed, again, talking to his servants. He's still talking. V'anochi hayom, but I today, rach, I'm kind of soft. Or a language of weak. Umashuach rach umashuach melech. I'm newly appointed as a king. The hanoshim ha'ela, these men, which men? Bnei Tsuria, the sons of Tsuria, the sons of my sister, meaning Yoav and Avishai. Kashim mimeni, they are harsher or harder than me. Yishalem Hashem. Hashem will pay back. Laosei hara kiraso. Hashem will pay back those who do evil according to their evilness. This is David basically admitting, I can't deal with him right now. I don't have the power to deal with him right now. Which is either understood that David really felt that he couldn't deal with him right now, or maybe an understanding that I can't be a king without him right now. Meaning, I'm Mashuach Melech. I'm newly appointed. You know, David needs someone like Yoav in his back pocket. He needs a general who's as fierce as. Even though there's a downside to having Yoav, because we see what happens, you know, when he goes off the path. But at the same time, there's a lot of positive to Yoav, and David sees the positive in Yoav. That's why I keep talking. Yoav is a very complex guy. He's not Kulo Ra. He's not a Russia Gomor. He did a bad thing, or you argue that he didn't do such a bad thing because he was avenging the blood of his brother, but he acted without telling David. It's not simple, and David says right now I can't deal with it. Now he cursed him before, and now he's saying that Hashem will deal with it. Hashem will deal with the evil in its evil in the right time, and so David does what he can. The way he can handle the situation is by showing that he's remorseful and it wasn't him who did it. But in terms of dealing with Yoav, he's not ready or able to deal with that. So Bez Hashem, next time we'll continue with Perek Dalet.
When we started with Chafbet, you were saying that.